Praise the Lord. Mom, thank you for being disciplined and not giving up when they say, why do we have to do this? And there's a few times like that, I'm sure. And we are reaping the benefits of your hard labor, Mom and Dad, and for your kids' dedication and service. So we do appreciate the gifts that they bring in their piano playing. Not that we don't appreciate our trumpeter. Yeah, we appreciate. Yeah, Jacob, we appreciate him. Jacob tells me he's starting to learn piano. So we may get an extra pianist here. But I highlight that to say God answers prayers. God answers specific prayer. And when we are growing weary in our prayer life saying, God, are you hearing me? Are you listening? And are you working? Always answer back to yourself, yes. When? I don't know. How? I don't know. Are you answering my prayer? Yes. Why? Because God has promised that He will. And He will. His ways are not our ways, and they are past finding out at times. But He is always, always, always involved in our lives, answering our prayer if we are walking in fellowship with Him. So that is a blessing. Turn your Bibles over to Acts 17. We're going to be looking at Acts 17, 1 through 19, or 9. In reference to our VBS week, I want to look at this idea of what is your manner of life? We're going to take a little bit of break until I get back consistently into evening services. We're going to take a break from Judges. But tonight, we're going to look at what is your manner of life? In Acts chapter 17, we're going to look at verses 1 through 9. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of a baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason has received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and the others, they let them go. Verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Let's pray. Lord, we do ask that you would help us to consider Paul's manner of life, to recognize we are called to follow after his example. And may we compare his investment, his pattern, his manner. And Lord, where we are falling short, help us to be faithful. Help us to take the rebuke, the exhortation. Where we are involved, help us to be encouraged that we are pleasing you and that we are being faithful servants. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So if you look at this passage, I titled the message, what is your manner of life? Because the significant statement here is in verse 2, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto the synagogue and unto them 3 days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. So he had a pattern, he had a manner of life by which people would say, hey, you know what, Paul, when he says Paul, by word association, what do you say? What comes to mind? Paul. What? Okay, another name for Paul. Paul. I'm sorry, I'm hearing wrong here.
Silas.
Right. Okay, gotcha. All right. Paul, associate with Paul, word associate. What else comes to mind when you hear Paul?
Persecution.
Huh? Ah, Sonny? Yeah, apostle. Okay. Nobody else dares say a word now. Okay, apostle. Persecution. Evangelist, right? Preacher of the gospel. Okay, so, and the point is this, why I'm asking that is when they say Shane, word association. Whoa. I don't think I want to go there, but by the looks of the audience here, that's probably not good. Oh, Shane, crazy, Shane. Yes, that's it. But what manner of life do you have so that when, you know, if they're doing your last will and testament, what are the things that they're going to remember about you and say, hey, yeah, he was, you know, Shane's a little crazy, but, you know, yeah, hopefully, I hope that's there. But the manner in which Paul, believers need to pattern our public lives after Paul's bold witness. Paul's manner was to seek out opportunity to speak the gospel. He looked for it. He didn't say, oh, well, I don't have opportunity to preach the gospel. No, no. He made opportunity. He looked for the opportunity, and he engaged in the opportunity to preach the gospel. And the question is, do we? Do we? I don't know. I try to keep tracks in the side panel of my door. Little gospel, telling people the gospel. And last week I had a chance to give it out, and this week after golf I had a chance to give it to Brian. And asked Brian, the gentleman that golfed with us Saturday, for those who didn't know, Jeremy put us into a tournament, and I got to golf with a guy I didn't know. And throughout the day, there was some comical gestures towards the preacher, you know. Well, you know, can you pray for us? And, oh, you know, those types of things. And then he made reference to me like I was a priest. And I said, well, if you really want to know the difference between a priest and a pastor, I'll tell you. I don't know, I kind of shied off of that. And, well, by the end of it, his wife took the vehicle, so he had to come home with me. So that was like, yes. And so I didn't really preach the gospel at him, but I did say, hey, you know, I see you're not really inquiring. I said, but I want you to understand that the Bible, one of my favorite verses for individuals like you is, what shall it profit a man who gains the whole world but loses his own soul? And I was able to hand him a tract. We were up at Shepherd's Camp, and we were backing the boat up, putting it into the lake, and as we're putting it into the lake, these two old, I mean, they're storybook characters. I mean, right out of the story, right out of a novel. We got this tall guy, and he's snow white hair and mustache, handlebar mustache, and the boat's Wisconsin, so they're not local, but you got this little guy. I mean, he's shorter than Monica. I mean, he's this little guy. And the little guy comes up to me and, what the bleep, 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 bleep. And he went on, and I was just bleep, bleep, bleep everywhere. And how does so much, you know, just cantankerous come out of such a small body? But he was there. But he was a nice guy at the same time. You ever get those guys, you know, they talk like a drunken sailor, but really they're actually nice. And he was trying to be helpful. And if I could get through with the cursing and swearing, it's like, I think he's a nice guy. So we got through with the jabs. He was Wisconsin. He saw the Minnesota license plate, so he started jabbing because I'm a Vikings fan, he assumes. And so we get past that, and then we get talking about the fishing, and he says, now, and he's still bleep, 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 and he says, now, sure enough, you're probably a priest or something. And I looked over and says, well, no, actually, I'm a pastor. Well, what the bleep, 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 and he just, well, okay. So by the end of it, I was like, hey, I really enjoyed my visit with you. And thanks for the help, and da, 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 da. And I had a trap. I was able to say, listen, will you promise me one thing? I'm not going to preach at you, but you're up here and you're retired and you spend all this time in the cabin. Will you go and will you promise me you'll read this? And he said he would. Well, he didn't have to take that. This guy, believe me, he would have told me to go fly a kite if he wasn't going to read it. He would have tore it up in front of me and said, that's what I think of your... But he took it. So there was two opportunities in the last couple of weeks that I had opportunity. Why? Because I was prepared. I have something in my vehicle that you know, that I can hand out to someone. BBS week, we're trying to reach out. We're trying to be evangelists. But if your manner of life is not to care about souls, guess what you're not going to do? You're not going to invite kids. If your manner of life is not to care about souls, you're not going to handle flyers. If your manner of life is not to care about souls, then you're probably not going to be here to help out. And if, but if it is and you can't be here, guess what you're going to be doing? You're going to be praying that it goes well for us. You'll be here in spirit even if you can't be here in body. Your manner of life cares. Paul's was. He presented a no-excuse pattern for evangelism. What excuses do you give yourself? What are some excuses we give to not give the gospel? Come on.
Too denied.
Yeah.
I can't even talk to you about how I went up Northwest Bay.
Yeah, we're too shy. Even amongst friends, we are shy, right? Turn around. Right? Yeah, too shy.
We're afraid that we're not going to say it and come on and like to mess up.
Okay. I'm afraid to mess up. Yeah, people won't like me. They'll reject me. Yeah, that mocking that we were talking about just this morning, right? There's a cost. I don't want to pay the price of it. Okay? So we got lots of reasons, don't we? He did not use the excuse that he did not know anyone. He comes into a strange city, and what's he do? I'm going to the synagogue. He didn't know anybody. I'm going to go there, and I'm going to find people. He came into a new town, sought out an audience to preach the gospel. And he preaches the gospel there for three Sabbath weeks. Paul's pattern was to go to the synagogue first, where he would get an audience of Jews and God-fearing Gentiles. Paul invested time in the lives of those hearing the word. Once they heard, 3 weeks, he is following up, investing in their lives. When we give the gospel and we disciple people, it takes time. A lot of time. I think that's one of the reasons we don't do it. I don't have time. Well, he was an apostle. He was called to do it. He was full time. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He was setting the example of evangelism for you and I. Paul presents an example of studying the word to enrich his ability to give out the gospel. It says he reasoned the scriptures with them. The term reason means to debate, discuss, defend. And then we hear from one of you, one of my reasons is I'm not sure I'll do it right. I'm going to tell you something, and would you agree with this? That the average person in this church, in comparison to other people who are not church, the average person in this church has a Bible college degree compared to the people you are working with.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you say...
I can vote something, but I don't always know the answer. So, like, if they said to me, okay, now where is that?
I get, oh my God.
First of all, most of them would be satisfied with, it's in the Bible, because they've never read it.
I guess it's just that fear that they would have.
Uh-huh. How would you deal with your fear?
Well, I'm trying to burn the address.
Or write it in your Bible, the address of the key verses.
Yes, I have started that.
Ah, okay. So have the Romans Road right there. Well, this verse. Okay. Or have tracts with you.
I know those addresses.
There you go.
In Maria.
Uh-huh. So Paul uses the word, I reasoned with them. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I think you guys undermine yourself. I think you have the answers. You watch your pastor, you watch stuff on TV, you read stuff that's systematically put together and it's deep and it's thorough, and you say, well, I couldn't remember all that. But your lives are living it, and you can draw upon your own life experiences. And you have a living testimony, and you have to recognize you do have an answer for why you do what you do. And if you can't find the address, at least give them, you know, the content. And it's okay that, you know, give them at least if you're going with addresses, give them at least the province, the township, you know, that's good enough. Well, where'd you get that? Well, I got it in Ontario. I got it in the New Testament. It's in the New Testament. So you want to search it out. The other thing is, really no excuse anymore. We all carry computers in our hands. And your Bible on your cell phone, you type in the word and it'll find it on most of those things. So, having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation. We are to be reasoning the scriptures just like Paul was. We are to be following that. Paul looked to the word of God to explain their meaning. The term opened, he says he reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs to have suffered is a reference that means to explain the word of God. Whether it be done through illustration, personal testimony, expounding on its meaning, the idea is to shed more light on the truth. And you say, well, I can't. Yes, you can. We all can. In fact, that's what we're going to do this next 4 days, right? We're going to shed the light on what God's word means. We're going to give illustrations to the kids. We're going to give living examples. We're going to have them memorize scripture. We're going to do this. And we can do this. That's what we're doing up in Northwest Bay. We have hope and we have answers. And we have to be bold in doing so. Paul also showed Christ through the entire Bible. He gave a systematic presentation, and most of you would be intimidated by that. Alleging means to set forth or explaining a discourse. Defending the faith, and maybe you feel overwhelmed by that, but you're not. You're living it. Tell people why you do what you do. Well, I go to church. Why? Why do you go to church? You're going to defend your faith right now. You're going to give a reason of your hope that's within you. I go to church. Why? What's that? Okay. And that is that a good thing? Are you told to do that from the Bible? Yeah. Okay, so you can't give the address. What Bible tells us? What does it say in the Bible that tells us to do that? Okay. Hebrews 13, I believe. I don't get the verse. What? 7.5? Look it up. I don't think it's 10:25, but look it up. Prove me wrong. I would love you to prove me wrong. What was it over here? Somebody said
10:25.
You said 10:25 too? Okay, look it up. Prove me wrong, please. Somebody else said 10:20. It is. Amen. Good. You proved me wrong. Isn't that fun? Okay. What's another? What's another? Why do you go to church? Well, we don't. I mean, the point is, you were able to draw a reason why you come to church, right? Okay. Why? What? Do you hear the word? Okay, what scripture we're back? What? Okay, to learn instruction. What Bible instruction would you back that up with? Okay. Okay.
I better check that.
Mike, go ahead. Approved the work that they have not ashamed. 2 Timothy. 2:15 or 3:15? 2 Timothy, that's 2:15. Okay. The reason I'm throwing this out there is, folks, you do know. You're just not confident in what you know. It's okay. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to have a memory like an elephant. I have no idea how they know an elephant has a memory or not. But no, you just have to be bold in your faith and care enough about the souls of others that you're going to speak into their life. Paul remained focused on his biblical priority. Paul did not speak on politics, the moral decadence, the poverty, or the many issues of that day. In fact, he doesn't deal with slavery. A lot of people who don't believe in the New Testament, they attack the New Testament because the apostles don't deal with slavery in the day. I mean, that's the great immorality according to them. So why didn't he deal with slavery?
Yeah.
What slavery?
Paul was pulling them and called them a brother.
Yeah, okay. But, I mean, it's true. That was, but he didn't rebuke. He didn't change. Okay. But he didn't deal with the inequities of society, did he? He preached the gospel. Are there societal problems? Things that aren't right, things that aren't just, things that are not fair. Now, Brandon and I were talking about the signs out there. And we ran across one out of the golf course, and, you know, abuse of women is wrong. I think that's what it says, right? For the abuse of women is wrong, or something like that. And I looked over and says, but abuse of men is okay. No, abuse. All abuse is wrong, right? Well, I disagree. So we're just kind of talking about that. But is that really what we need to be focused on? Should humanity deal with this problem? Sure. And are we a part of the human race? Yeah, sure. But where should our priority be? Pointing to them and their spiritual decadence. Their slavery to sin. You want to be slavery? Yeah, it's the slavery to sin. And Paul focuses. It's interesting how many situations he finds himself in. He does not deal with those. In fact, Jesus Christ didn't deal with those. What did he say about the poor? They will always be with you. Because of the wickedness of mankind, there will always be injustice. And until the Lord returns and sits on the throne, it will not be fixed. So, what should we be focusing on? Their greatest need of mankind is not getting their life out of poverty. It's getting their soul rescued by the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the response was the same as always. Some got saved, and some were angry, full of envy. We don't do the gospel thing because we get results. We give the gospel because it's what God has called us to do. And we may get some, and we may not. This week, as we do VBS, maybe somebody will get saved. Praise the Lord. The fact that we're having an opportunity to speak the gospel in the lives of little children that normally will not be able to church, that is a success. We're not, you know, now, how do we evaluate whether we do this again next year? Because, you know, by the end of it, it's a $1,000 investment. How do we determine whether we do it again next year? Well, to me, it's real simple. Do we get any kids to come? not kids, but unchurched kids. Are we filling it up by being the nursery for all the good Christian families who want some safe babysitting? Or are we getting unchurched kids? I hope we're getting unchurched kids. And then we will look at this next year. But there's something else that's accomplished. It keeps the gospel in front of you so that you are reaching out to the unsaved. It gives you an opportunity of a tool that you can use to get the gospel in people's lives. And that's good. That's a good thing. Faithful preaching is what pleases the Lord, not eloquent, manipulative, oratorical masterpieces, and not success. Just faithfully preach. They get driven out of town. What kind of success was that? Paul brought hardship upon himself and upon others. This is something that I think some believers are hesitant to be bold in the faith because of the burden it's going to bring on people they love. Paul is there preaching, and we have this Jason. He's hosting Paul. Paul's preaching the gospel boldly. What happens? He gets taken in. They're going to question him. They're going to give him a hard time. He is going to suffer some persecution. Paul continued to preach no matter what the cost to him personally. He continued to preach no matter what the cost was to others. In preaching of the cross, one point of discouragement is when your faithfulness brings pain and hardship upon those you love. You're tempted to not be so bold. You're tempted to maybe just be a little softer in how you give the gospel. And yet Paul doesn't back off, but notice Jason. He doesn't apologize. He still supports Paul. He is still, because he's a godly person, he recognizes the cost of being associated with the gospel and continues to do so. My question for you is, are you willing to pay the price? What were some of your reasons that you shared that you wouldn't give the gospel? Because people will hate us. Yeah, they will. They sure will. But some will get saved. And God is pleased. And that's our job. So this week at VBS, we're going to be giving the gospel. Some may get saved. Some may be upset at us because they sent their kids thinking that they were going to be told things that in their mind were helpful to the kids, and the kid comes home and says, "Mommy, Daddy got saved." "What are you talking about, got saved, child? You were baptized as an infant. What's the saved stuff?" And the family comes, "What are you telling my kid?" Does that happen? That happens sometimes. Sure it does. So should we change the message? Should we stop trying to reach out? I don't know what's going to come this week. I just know that Satan doesn't like what we're going to do this week. So there's a spiritual battle this week. Hopefully there's a spiritual battle every week for you. What is your manner of life? Are you giving the gospel? Or are you giving up? Are you just becoming a get-along, shy person? Yeah, it's easy. It's easy to do that. Just look out for number one and look out for your job. And look, I'm not saying go out there and purposely offend people. But I am saying if you're going to be consistently giving the gospel, there's going to be people who are angry and upset at you. Not because you're a mean and evil person, but because you're a godly person. And that brings conviction in people's lives, and they get angry at you. Isn't that interesting? They get angry at the truth, because the truth convicts and condemns their soul. we have to be bold and willing to do so. Just a little bit of a personal prep for this week. Hopefully you recognize there is a spiritual battle and that we're going to go into it and we're going to give God the glory. Let's work together as a team. Have no idea what's going to come our way. I always get excited when we're kicking at the fence of Satan's cities because he's not going to like it. And it's just right. It's the heart of Christ. He died so that all might be saved. And it's just right to focus and spend time on reaching out and giving the gospel. So thank you for your support this week, prayer support, your physical presence, for our teachers who have taken the books home and got ready to preach and teach the truth. Praise God for you. And thank you for all who have helped with the decorating. I know the crafts are ready. The store is ready. Thank you for all that sacrifice. Now, let's go out and get some kids. Somehow. How? I don't know. You guys all have your own ways. The Lord took my truck away, so I'm not going to be able to go pick up kids. Brake lines went out on, so I got to get them fixed this week. So maybe that's him saying, "Hey, Shane, not this week." So I may be calling some of you up saying, "Hey, I got some kids, but I don't have any vehicle to pick them up. Will you come get them?" So if you're willing to be a shuttle for me, if I find kids, and I'm going to be looking, just let me know so that I can give you a holler to come. I'll be the motorcycle pastor this week. So. All right. Mike Sinclair, would you close us in prayer?